17th. It is 7:05 p.m. This is the regularly scheduled monthly meeting of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, will the clerk please call the roll? Karen, you on?
I'm here. Jenny Estwan.
I'm here.
Steve Jalowick. I saw him. Steve Jalowick.
Steve, you're muted. There you go. Okay, he's here.
Dave Kopchansky.
Here.
Raul Sanchez.
Here.
Albert Miskowitz.
Here.
Raymond Sadlick. Cindy Nopick.
Here.
Okay, we'll move on to the next item. Additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. Because of a couple of informal meetings this evening, I move that we change the public portion, number 6, and we moved it to the end of the meeting after old business, just so in some of the informal discussions, if the members from the public would like to comment, they comment at that time, because maybe some questions that they do have will be answered in the informal discussion. Okay, that's the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded by Steve Jalowick. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Okay, we'll move public portion to the end of the meeting. Okay, item number 5, communications. For the record, I don't have any communications electronically. I will let you know I haven't been to City Hall to check to see if there's anything in the mailbox, but electronically I do not have any communications. So with that, we'll move on to the next item, which is approval of minutes. Okay, approval of minutes of the 10-20-20 regular meeting first. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion approved.
I'll second that. Any discussions on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Approval of the minutes of the September meeting. Motion to approve. I'll make that. Okay. And I'll second that. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, receipt of applications. Receipt of application for O'Sullivan's Island from the City of Derby site plan approval to put a walkway and observation platform on the Housatonic River. One quick question. Ryan, does that be public hearing or no? Or just input?
It's a permitted use, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
It can be held without a public hearing. It is being reviewed by the Derby Wetlands Agency as well.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. Okay. Motion to receive this evening. I'll make that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. 90 Main Street Derby Apartment Investments site plan approval application to build a 70 unit apartment building. This needs to be received and set as a public hearing at the next meeting, which is in December. A motion to approve and set it as a public hearing for the next month. Is there a
motion
second?
Motion to receive.
You know, eventually I'll get that right. You know that. Like on my last meeting, I'll get that right. Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll set that up for a public hearing next month. Okay, new business. Summit Hill Telescope Mound, informal. This is an informal discussion, just for the record, and to let anybody from the public know that there is no application before us. There is no approval or receipt of an application before us. This is an informal discussion to discuss their concept of Summit Hill Telescope Mound. And tonight is the first night the Planning and Zoning Commission will actually see or hear what they're looking to do, and please keep that in mind. Thank you. Is there somebody here from the applicant who wishes to address the commission at this time?
Yes, Attorney Dominic Thomas, Cohen and Thomas, 350 Main Street, Derby, representing the property owners and the applicant. Thank you for the opportunity to make this informal presentation. I think that everybody on the commission and probably members of the public are familiar with the site, which encompasses four parcels of land and includes Telescope Mountain. And it is an R5 zoned piece of property that has been the subject of a couple of matters in the past, an application to do zoning in accordance with R5 and an attempt to put the water tower for the Regional Water Authority on the site. Both of those met with neighborhood and public opposition that was focused in two areas. The extensiveness of the site work and access to the property off of Summit Street. As you are aware, it is zoned R5, and as a matter of right, a subdivision can be put there, which allows single families or duplexes on 10,000 square foot lots. And as I'm sure you are aware, once property is zoned, it is presumed that the infrastructure leading up to that property is sufficient to sustain the permitted uses under that zone. And when I say the infrastructure, I mean specifically the access to the property through Summit, which does create some issues. What my client is proposing is what one might call creative zoning, a development district, or will propose a development district. We believe it can address the issues that have caused the most consternation with the development of this property, and it will substantially increase economic development. Derby, I know, is in, and as a Derby businessman, a Derby taxpayer, everybody's interested in generating economic development for Derby. And one thing I'd like to do is, you know, the term economic development is thrown around a lot. And I'm going to explain the way I explain it before many commissions. Economic development is a project which generates more in taxes than it takes out in services. And in addition, especially in the residential area, brings in individuals into the community who spend money in the local economy. If this property, as you will see when we make the Pat Rose explains the existing zoning in our proposal, R5 zoning will require a substantial leveling of the property to accommodate 10,000 square foot lots for duplexes. In order to be economically feasible, that's what has to be done. In addition to that, you would have, as you can see, you'll see from the numbers, I think around 80 some odd units at three bedrooms each. It will also require, again, for most purposes, access over Summit Street for both construction and for the use of the lots. My client wants to propose a creative zoning that will permit two bedroom upscale townhouses, possibly some one bedrooms, but limited to two bedrooms, built substantially to grade with access off of Coon Hollow Road. It will have clubhouse and amenities. You will see from the presentation that such a proposal can reduce the site work by half or more, can result in balancing of the site, meaning some fills, excavation and fills. Telescope Mountain will be preserved, which would allow a significant thing to occur, which is someone then may find my Cub Scout knife somewhere on top of Telescope Mountain, which I lost a couple years ago, I think. Access from Coon Hollow Road would be from Coon Hollow Road. Summit would have no access except for emergency access as required for public safety. That would be up to, of course, your police and fire. The project is close to Route 8, and you can think about it for a minute. With the access, it is probably about a mile from the northbound and southbound entrances to Route 8. It can attract young professionals and those wanting to downsize and stay in Derby. It's close to the greatest high school athletic complex in the nation. I think we would all agree to that. And it is within walking distance on a nice day to Roselands, which is also a big plus. Speaking of roses, Pat Rose is here to review the existing zoning and the proposed zoning, give you some idea of what it looks like. We also have Eric and Matt Brennan and Don Stanciel to answer any questions that you have about the site work, the project, or the type of units that we are proposing. Again, this can't be done under R5 zoning. It does require that a plan development district be incorporated into Derby zoning, which I think is something that is very important for Derby to do at this point so that it can address the uses of parcels of property within the town without imposing those uses in large scale zones. And with that, I will call upon Pat Rose. And Pat, are you going to screen share or do you want me to?
No, if you could put up the site plan, schematic site plan D first.
Okay, let me, hold on, put up the, you want D first, right?
Right.
Hold on a second, I got to figure out how to do this. It's... is this the one you want up?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
Oh, that's E, I'm sorry, that's E, Dominic.
That's E?
There you go, that's it.
Okay.
All right. Name is Patrick Rose from Rose Tizo and Company, licensed architect. We're located at 35 Brentwood Avenue in Fairfield. The project that we're talking about 18 acres over off Summit Street in Telescope Hill. What we've looked at is what you could do in an R5. That's what this schematic site plan D reflects. It reflects a town roadway off of Summit Street going straight into a cul-de-sac and then a U-shaped piece of road going downhill and with some more units on it. What we're showing here are 47 duplexes, each on a 10,000 square foot plus lot. So that comes out to 94 units altogether. And those would all be three bedroom units. So in order to accomplish this, and this is what I believe the owner believes makes this project viable with this type of zoning, is that we have to do some substantial excavation associated with the mountain in the center in order for us to be able to put a road in that could meet town standards. So we know that it is a significant amount of excavation. So because of the issues associated with access from Summit Street and the large amount of excavation, we looked at an alternative to this, which is shown on schematic site plan E. Put that up, Dominic.
Okay.
There it is. Nope, that's still D. There you go. That's it. I got it. You got it.
Okay.
So schematic site plan E, what we're looking at doing is accessing this road, this development from Coon Hollow Road, and then coming up the hill and connecting into a network of roadway, which brings us around the lower section of the hill and then connects over to the somewhat plateau on the northern section. We just show a connection to Summit Street would purely be for emergency vehicles only. So everything would come from Coon Hollow Road. What we decided to do is to do a, a cluster development where we have townhouses, two-bedroom townhouses, and then two-bedroom plus office ranch units on the end. So a typical building is four townhouses with two end sort of ranch units. That's a typical building. We show a variety of different configurations. But what this allows us to do with this type of building is that we can set it into the hill, use up the grade that way, so you can bury that garage floor and utility floor into the hill. This allows us to work with the grades as we go around the bottom of the hill. And we'd be cutting to some degree on the uphill side and then filling on the downhill side for those units below them, the downhill side. So what we'd be able to do is come around with this road, and then it spurs off right and left as you get to the top with a cul-de-sac on either end. And maintains on the one side the top of Telescope Hill, Telescope Mountain. So, and you know, the opportunities are there for some type of passive recreation space up there, or you know, even some type of way we can see if we can develop public access in the future, if possible. What we have are units that are two bedroom units for townhouses, and then two bedroom plus office for the end ranch units. Actually, we end up, even though there are 107 units shown here, there are less bedroom spaces in this 107 units than the 94 units associated with the duplexes. And
get the floor plans up.
Yeah, go ahead and put the floor plan, the typical floor plan on.
Well, there's the. You want this one, Pat, or?
The one before, if it's the first possible. There you go. Typical floor plan for these buildings. You have four townhouse units in the middle with tandem space, two-car garages on the lower level. And then on either side, there's a two-car garage and the living space of a unit on either side of the building. Going up to the next floor, you have the living space for the townhouses and then the bedroom space and office space associated with the end units. Fairly simple layout. Doing some of these in the Shelton currently. You could go to the next page, Dominic. And the upper floor, the third floor, and the townhouse is in the middle. That's where the two bedrooms are located. And then there's the typical front elevation where we have the bow windows in the townhouses. And then the lower roof of the two-story ranch units on either side.
So that is our presentation. Certainly what we'd like to do is get some feedback from the commission, answer some of your questions and try to address any concerns that the commission has in this informal session. Thank you for allowing us to present.
Okay, Dominic, I have one question for the developers, and not to the layout, but one water pressure. What's planned here to get water here? Because we know there's no water pressure up there. Because we just, you know, so what's the plan on getting water, which is a simple utility, into this project? Somebody from the developer just
best to answer that is Matt or Eric.
I don't know.
I'm trying to. Do you want me to stop screen?
I mean, put it this way. I don't know if you want to just listen to the commission's concerns, the public's concerns, which I'm sure they'll have, and then go back and come back the following month to address those concerns, or you whether would like to address them as we go along. It's not my informal, it's the applicant's informal. So however they want to handle it is fine by me.
Well, I think that if we're going to proceed along with steps towards a change to the zoning text, I think we'd like to get as much input as possible. I'm with respect to the question on water pressure and utilities, which would be an issue for any development, even R5 development. I don't know, is Eric or Matt, can you comment on that at all?
This is Matt Brennan speaking. Obviously there was a previous application to put a water tower on, water tank on this land for that very reason. I believe Regional Water is in the process, if not has already started constructing a water tank in the area. And I believe as a matter of, right, if we're building the project, they owe the customers a minimum of 30 to 40 PSI on the property. So at a very minimum, they may have to put in a small booster station. That's something we'd have to look at engineering wise moving forward. But certainly the intent is to give the development water from Regional Water, not well water. So
the reason why I'm asking is because the project was approved, but it has not been started, is in the middle of an appeal process. So, I'm just don't know where that's going to go. So then
from my understanding, if the project were to move forward as designed, there would be no issue with water pressure on our proposed development. Okay. I can't speak to if the project were denied. Obviously that's another issue. But we would have to address that in a future, filing.
I'm just bringing that up because for the simple fact that there was a house fire in the area and the house burnt down because it had no water pressure. So I just don't want to see that happening and put the public at risk, because part of the process is public health, safety, and welfare. And that's what we have to protect.
Right. And I believe, as developers, we have every intention of, giving development city water. We don't intend on drilling wells. So that would be something we'd have to coordinate with the Regional Water Authority. But there is a minimum that they're allowed, there is a minimum that they're allowed to provide as a public utility. And certainly that would have to be addressed if the current proposed water tank did not move forward.
Excuse me, Ted.
This Attorney Thomas, let me point out something. Sure. If there's a water problem there now, then the entire, that portion of town is subject to a safety hazard at the present time.
And, excuse me.
Which I think would be, which is a certainly of serious concern with the town. But as far as the ability to do that, certainly if it were denied, then the developer is going forward and spending money at its own risk and might impact the development. I don't think if you put everything on hold because of that, and then you're going to push things farther out, and it may very well mean that the developer can't push forward with it. I mean, there are a lot of preliminary things to do. The issue of the water is something that needs to be addressed. I know it has a lot of twists and turns, but it is also a public safety issue. So the developers, I think, are confident enough to be able to move forward with the understanding that they could impact the development in the future.
Excuse me, Ted.
Yes, Dave, go ahead.
Sorry, David Leonard, Fire Chief. In reference to the water system up there, obviously we know the Summit Street top of the hill has a low water pressure. Like you mentioned, about 2016 timeframe, 15, we had a house fire up there. We had difficulties with water. But the condo complex next door, the Summit Commons, they actually have a pump house with two fire pumps that provide us adequate water pressure in the condo complex. So I would assume that if the water tank across the hill, if you will, gets shot down, then the developers would just have to put fire pumps into part of their plan. I don't think it's an insurmountable barrier to the project. Again, just like Summit Condos next door, it's just a matter of putting a couple of fire booster pumps in to the project.
And this is Matt again, and I agree with Dave. And my understanding is if the water tank project were to go forward as designed by Regional Water, that it would alleviate the issue. But certainly there is the possibility of doing what Dave just said and putting a booster pump in.
Okay. Speaking
from the fire department operations, as long as the developer was going to supplement the water pressure with the booster pump, and Phil would really be the one to get you the exact pressures as the fire marshal. But you know, we would have no problems as long as the adequate fire pump is put in.
Thanks, Dave. And since this is it's an informal discussion, and what you're doing is soliciting comments from commission members, or I'm sure you'll get a lot from the public, is okay, just concerns that we have that need to be addressed. Not saying that it can't, as Dave said, doesn't mean that these things aren't insurmountable. It's just things that should be brought to your attention. And just because we have a water pressure problem, Dominic, on the entire west side of Derby doesn't mean we need to add to it. So I'll just leave that. So any comments from any other commission members? Because that's one that just hit me right off the top of my head. Okay. I know it's a tough property to develop just from the past.
I have a question, but it's more for Ryan. Ryan, have you had a chance to review these submittals?
Yes, Commissioner Jalowick, I have just for what they're worth in terms of a very schematic layout. There's very little detail with them. It's just essentially with schematic layout. There's really not a whole lot to it.
What I was getting at is, you know, all due respects to the architect and the developer, how do we know that the maximum housing count that they show with the single family or the duplex and actually that the amount of townhouses is accurate for the site? Because I recognize it's a very difficult site. So without, I'm assuming, doing extensive engineering work, you know, how do we know how accurate those dwelling counts are?
Well, you know, your subdivision regulations have language that suggests a limit of 20 units on a dead end street, 20 lots, subject to the commission having the ability to expand beyond 20 when it sees it as appropriate. So that's the first hurdle that I see. I mean, that's pretty obvious that they've got 47 lots on Summit Road, along with whatever's on Summit today. I'm not sure how many houses are on Summit today. So that would be a significant hurdle that the developer would chase, have to deal with for a subdivision in terms of emergency services, emergency response to a dead end street of that length with that many units. So that's the first thing that jumps out at me. They don't show any sort of emergency connection or secondary connection with the subdivision, but they do with the condo developments. So my first thought is, why isn't there one for the subdivision where there's contemplated for the condo? So that's what jumps out at me initially. Obviously, you know, there's a whole host of development issues with all of these scenarios. But you know, beyond just the sheer unit count, it's really hard to get your head into it with what amounts to a two-dimensional picture.
I guess I'm just thinking out loud here that I'd like to have your more formal review of these before we, you know, went any further. That's my opinion anyways.
Well, I could certainly take a look at them, but you know, absent something with more detail, it'll just be global in nature.
I understand.
But I think, you know, the fundamental issue I think we have to have the discussion with the commission tonight is what the developer is seeking to do there's not a vehicle for that in the zoning regulations right now. Right. I think everyone needs to understand that, who's listening, that what the developer would be requesting would be some form of text amendment or zone change along with this plan. So there's not the ability to go in and do the condo development right now based on the current regulations. So that's a major hurdle that I think the commission should provide the developer with some feedback on, whether they would frankly consider or even want to consider some sort of an enabling text regulation. That's absent that, you know, the condo development plan is not possible.
Right. Okay. I tend to agree with Steve here. There's only so much you can do in an informal, the first time we've seen this, to actually perform some sort of formal review to it. But, you know, like anything, anywhere, you're entitled to the use of your property in some way, shape, or form. We just have to make sure it's conducive to our zoning regulations. And if it's not by right, are we as a town or a commission entertaining something different than what's in our normal regulations to allow the developer or the property owner to move forward? I think that's what you're saying, Ryan.
Exactly right.
Okay. All right.
So I mean, with all the respect about water pressure, I mean, that's a detail that would have to be ironed out down the road. I mean, there's so many hurdles that they have to jump through before they, you know, get to the point of worrying about water service to the individual units.
Well, you know, it's things that jump out on you. As again, it's without an absence of a full blown engineering study, then we're, like Steve said, we're looking at you know, something that jumps right out at you. So that's something that jumped out at me because water seems to be such an issue on the west side of town. So it jumped out to me right away without even looking at the plans. Just the amount of properties and the water pressure is just one thing. Forget the technical details. That's one thing that just jumped right out. So I'm just bringing it up for the applicant's attention because it is a concern. Okay. That's all. They're asking for feedback. They're here before us in an informal nature, asking us for feedback. I'm sure they'll get some from when we open up the public portion, but they're asking for feedback from the commission members. And the commission members are extension and arms of the public. So we're going to listen to what they have to say also. Any other comments from any commission members at all for the applicant on this informal plan? Is this something we would want to take further? Or at least think about further. You know, maybe this is something we want to have a discussion next month amongst ourselves at our meeting, just to decide whether this is something we want to even approach. You know, when we have a little more time to think about it and provide details, because this is the first time we've seen, this is the first time I've seen it. So, you know, that's pretty much the question I'm asking the other commission members.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir, Dave.
Like to ask the engineer a question?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Do you actually own the property down to Coon Hollow Road, or would you need an easement?
Yes. This is Dominic. I've done the research. Let me pull this up and I'll explain it to you. Hold on. This area down here. I did some substantial research, and it is City of Derby right of way that extends all the way in. The property of Dominic Valentino, there's a set of power lines here, and you can barely see them. The property of Dominic Valentino ends about right here, along just inside those power lines. This is all City of Derby property, going down from here to behind the Capola Terrace lots. The GIS map is completely wrong.
So that property where you're showing you driveway coming out onto Coon Hollow Road,
right,
you're saying that city-owned land is part of the Coon Hollow Road right-of-way, and it's not
It's owned by the City of Derby. It's adjacent to a public road. It's a matter of, it's part of the right-of-way. It's the same reason why you have the Summit driveway here. Awesome.
Yeah, the reason why I'm asking the question is because the assessor's card assigns it a lot number, and that's generally not given to a right-of-way or a public road.
The GIS is wrong.
My real question is if you could do that road for a condo complex, why couldn't you do it for a subdivision?
I'm sorry, what? I didn't.
If you could do this roadway out to Coon Hollow Road for a condominium complex, why couldn't you do it for a two-family lot subdivision?
Well, they possibly could, and we'd have an access off of Summit and an access off of here. It's possible. We would take care of our dead end situation, and we would be able to build the 47 units. If that were an issue.
Yeah, I looked at that subdivision plan, and it's not in conformance with either our zoning regulations or our subdivision regulations. So I'm not sure if you'd get 47 lots out of that, but you would get something.
Yeah.
But really the point is that, I mean, you're looking for us to modify or to amend our zoning regulations. And, you know, I'd like to see that it's not practical to do a development that complies with our zoning regulations.
Yeah, I mean, we're here for an informal presentation. Obviously, as mentioned, we would have to approach you with a zoning vehicle to be able to do this.
Right.
The question is, you can't ask a property owner to just not do anything with this property. We're trying to show you that creative zoning would be able to address some of the concerns of development up here. But we're also trying to show you a way to achieve economic development, which are all things the commission needs to consider. But if there's feedback, if it's positive, the next step here would really be not to go to engineering, but to make sure the commission is presented with a vehicle to allow this to happen. In other words, a zone text change.
All right, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. What you're asking is to the developer is, show me if you can do the two entrances and exits, or just having the emergency entrance and exit on Summit and the main entrance and exit through Coon Hollow. If you can do it for one development, why can't you do it from another? And if you can't do it, you're trying to ask them, given our standard subdivision regulations, what's preventing you from building to that standard if you have this roadway to go to alternative? Is that what you're asking, Dave?
Well, I'm asking them to, to consider both ways. Before we take the drastic step of amending our zoning regulations, I'd like to see that, you know, all other alternatives that comply with our regulations have been attempted. There's also another access into here that hasn't been considered, and it's not shown on this plan, and that's the paper road of Fall Street, which runs from Smith Street up to the end of Summit Street. Now, it's unimproved city road, but there's actually building lots on that paper road. So that might be considered as well.
Okay, and I guess what I'm asking is just there are ways, well, this drives all traffic or anything to Coon Hollow. I know there's other avenues to be considered. There's also, I think, Mountain Road or some, there's another way to get in and out of the property here, but we also have to take into consideration, is that what we really want? You know, do we want to drive traffic or any ingress or egress through a different manner? And that's part of what this discussion is about.
And I agree. We may not, but we should at least have an opportunity to explore.
I agree. We should exhaust everything that is out there and available to us in the manner that is permitted or by special exception. And once those are exhausted, the next manner would be, okay, well, we found a better way to do this. Would we consider this? I think that's what you're asking. Avenues were exhausted, right, Dave?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. There may be an alternate
development
that might be more palatable.
The alternate might be better than the practical or the by right. So it might be something we want to consider. So, but I understand you want to at least go down those avenues first before you make a change, right? I would think. Or suggest a change.
Right. And I think a lot will come out, Mr. Chairman, in the course of a public hearing on this, you know.
Thanks, Dave.
Input from the residents.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Any other comments from any commission members from what they've seen so far?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Raul.
I just missed the account on scheme E. What was the lot in units?
count? Was that the same as D? It wasn't the same as D because the lots aren't.
No, scheme E was 107.
107 units?
Yes, sir.
And no lot
no determination? Lots, no, because cluster development, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Anybody else from the commission? Anybody else with any comments from commission? I'm sure there's 35 people here that are participants, so I'm sure there's a mass from the public that has their input too. So I'd like to hear from them also. Okay. Because we after all we are an extension of the public. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have one comment, Ted.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd really like to know what the final topography would be for these two. Plans, you know, I'm just looking at it. I'm seeing the current topography, but I have no idea what they plan on doing to actually fit these houses into. Are they going to like flatten the entire site? Are they working it in? And
there are actually on each plan, there are spot elevations as you go along the road. You know, it's done fairly large chunks, but you can see that with the scheme E, we're following the existing topo as best we can. With scheme D, we're essentially taking the top of the mountain off and going up at a reasonable grade over the top of this and then back down to meet grade at the cul-de-sac. But there are spot elevations that are shown on the roadway itself.
Right, and Pat, this is Matt again. If I could just add, I know there was talk about, you know, whether or not the two different concepts could be handled with and without the access off of Coonhauer Road, but even if you were to add the access off of Coonhauer Road for the duplex design, I think it would still add a significant amount more site work for the topography for the duplexes versus, and I think what you're asking, sorry, Albert, the idea of this concept was try and follow the topography as well as keeping the summit of Hill, which obviously has some history in the town, and try and kind of blend in, you know, the units with what's actually there versus taking the entire hill down. So that was the intent with the two different concepts.
Right, because me just initially looking, definitely the townhouse layout is more appealing, you know, for layout and everything. I was just wondering, you have that one set of units that kind of go right into the mountaintop there with the roundabout in it.
Yeah, and we actually had a previous concept, which actually had, I think, an additional two or three units that went into the top of that. We kind of drew that back for this presentation, and you know, it made sense both economically and you know, for the amount of earthwork that was involved in it. It didn't make sense to take that amount of earth out, so we drew that concept back, and with that we maintained the top of the mountain, which you know, as Dominic said, maybe he'll find his Boy Scout knife up there someday, but I think the intent is to try and kind of keep the summit up there. You know, it's called Summit Hill for a reason, and you know, people that have lived here for a long time, including myself, understand the, you know, the history of such, and kind of want to kind of keep the topography the way it is. So,
okay, thank you.
Thanks, Matt. For myself, I mean, we'll get to, I appreciate the informal and I appreciate the time you folks took to come before the commission to give an informal look of what you'd like to do versus what, you know, the alternative is. And I tend to agree with Dave and Steve, we got to take a deeper dive into both of these to pretty much exhaust other avenues that you do have here and make sure that what you can do by rights is probably not the best solution for us to go down that path to offer to look at your alternative. Since it's the first time we've looked at this pretty much and seen it as a commission, I'd like for us to take the time, and I'm sure we'll have public comments, to just to look at it more in detail during the next month and maybe have you come back for before you go through an entire application process, just so we can have more detailed comments for you for what, you know, the pros and cons of what we see in front of us to give you a better direction. I'm sure, Matt, of what you're looking for. You're looking for a thumbs up or thumbs down. Should you approach it in a certain manner or not? And I think from what I've heard tonight from the commission members, they would like to take a deeper dive into what's in front of us to really give it true consideration, to give you a better avenue of what we'd like to see. And correct me if I'm wrong for other commission members. Am I speaking out of turn or am I asking the applicant for the time for us to take that deeper dive? I know that Steve had mentioned comments from Ryan. Dave gave some concerns and so did Raul and Albert. So I just want to make sure that I took everybody's concerns into consideration before pretty much since Dominic said this is pretty much their presentation. It gives us a lot to think about, and I'm sure there'll be some public comments at the end of the meeting that we might have missed or not taken into consideration or have already been taken into consideration. So we'd like to hear them also. Folks, what do you think? Steve, Dave, you want to add anything to that? Albert, Raul, Cindy?
I think you're right, Ted.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I
just want to give the applicants, you know, a fair shot at looking at what they're proposing before us tonight, but rather than having a knee jerk reaction to it, again, I'd like to take a deeper dive in this. And there might be comments that we come up during the month that we can collectively put together and offer them as they come back before us. And they might have the answer. They might have the answers to questions that we don't even know we should ask right now, is pretty much what I'm getting down to. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Gentlemen, if you don't have anything else to add, we'd like to see you again next month.
All right. The only comment I would like to move along, I submitted a draft, which I think has gone to your planners or Malone or McBroom, and I would hope at least so that we can elaborate a little more next month, we can also potentially address some of those issues with respect to the draft.
Yeah, I think we can give it a cursory review. I think Ryan can do that with what he has. Ryan? I'll put you on the spot.
Yeah, we can. I can look at it with Vince McDermott, Rebecca Auger of our office, certified planners, and
please
see what their thoughts are. I know the commission had some general concerns at the last month's meeting when that was brought up. You know, about the expansive potential of that particular text. So we can certainly look into that a little more closely.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. Dominic, that what you're looking for?
That's fine.
Thank you. Okay. Matt, you folks all set?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate the presentation. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item number 10A, old business, 280 Caroline Street, continued discussion and possible action regarding a request for zoning certificate of compliance for a six-family house. I received a phone call today. I don't know if the applicant is on with us tonight, but he asked me for a 30-day extension the next month. Hello? Roger?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, Roger's here. The applicant's here himself. He can ask himself. Okay, he asked for a 30-day extension. I don't know how we get that in writing when we're remote, but I'm sure we can ask for an email of some sort from him.
Mr. Chairman, this isn't subject to the formal application procedure, because he's asking for a determination about a historic non-conforming use. So this doesn't follow the state protocol for 65 days to render a decision. So I don't know that an extension is warranted.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it.
They could just be continued to next month for that.
Okay, you good with that, Roger?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right.
Okay, we'll move on to item number 10B then, 49 Birdvale Avenue, complaint of zoning violation, continued discussion and possible action. Okay, I know this has been a subject of discussion for the past few months, both with us, ourselves, the city, the State Liquor Commission, our police department, et cetera. Barbara, I'm going to defer to you. I don't believe I've heard anything that can say they did something or someone did something wrong at a certain point in time. But what I do see is that there's a use that needs to be placed a cease and desist with the owner of the property, that they're not allowed to use the property for a specific use, i.e. a clubhouse. Okay, so at least the property owner knows that if there's clubhouse activities going on at that location, there's something that has been presented to him and has been placed in the file in the building department. So whatever ZEO we choose has something to fall back on, something in writing that says, hey, you folks cannot do this. Because it's my understanding from what I hear, and I haven't seen it myself, although I went down and looked, that there's continued clubhouse type activities there, i.e. Halloween events, a Friendsgiving. I don't know if that's happening. It might be hearsay. But I just want to get it to a point where we can stop it from happening if it is. And so a very clear message is sent to the owner that whatever is going on there should not, cannot, and will not be tolerated by the city of Derby and is not allowed. Is that something that we can do, Barbara?
Well, a cease and desist is appropriate if there's evidence that there's prohibited activity going on.
I mean,
there needs to be some evidence of that.
When? At what point in time does there need to be some evidence? Because we've all had pictures, whether they were taken yesterday or 2 or 3 years ago, that type of activity did exist on the property.
If there is evidence that there is ongoing activity there that's prohibited, then a cease and desist order is appropriate.
Okay.
This is Attorney Dominic Thomas for the property owner. Something needs to be cleared up. I have been involved in this since June. I have made 5 separate requests via phone or email for any current information, including an email which I sent to Attorney Schnellenberg and Ryan on September 3rd. I have never received one iota of current information other than comments like that of hearsay that there's anything going on right now. The only pictures I was shown, and I was told by several members of the Derby administration that these were from 2 years ago. I asked, I said, fine, if you have new ones, give them to me. I advised my client, I went over the uses. I was asked to provide a list of uses. I provided an extensive list of uses via email to your representatives. Shipyard, garbage disposal, mechanic work, auto body work ongoing. I have advised Mr. Archer that the people down there, if they want to work on their bikes, fine, they cannot have a social club. It boggles my mind still that in the past, the somewhat strange rezoning of a longtime industrial property was done to R5, but my client has to live with it. I would like at some point in the future to request that the commission consider reasonable changes to it to allow more better uses for these older industrial properties. But right at the present time, he's been told that they cannot have a social club. Now, having a party, having a gathering, I mean, if Derby Auto Body or if the wedding dress people decided to have a party, I'm sure you're not going to run down there and issue a cease and desist order for a birthday party or something of that nature. But the social club events that I was shown that occurred 2 years ago, I told them you can't do that now, but there is no ongoing violations, none, unless I was told wrong.
Well, look, with all due respect to Attorney Thomas, what he's telling us is one thing. What we're hearing or seeing, or what we have to bring this to closure. Every month we seem to be dragging this on.
Mr. Chairman, we
need to bring this to closure. We need to have something in our files on record that sends a crystal clear message to the applicant of what he's not allowed to have.
Mr. Chairman, last month, I thought we were, the commission was very clear, and I believe Attorney Thomas was made aware that the commission is looking for a statement of use.
Correct. That is absolutely correct.
That's right. And I did speak with Attorney Thomas after that meeting, shortly after that meeting last month. And I explained to him that the commission was surprised he was not present at the last meeting to discuss this, address this matter, that the commission wants a statement of use. And the commission was looking for him to address that specifically at this meeting. We're not talking about what happened 2 years ago. And again, you know, the commission, if the commission is hearing about things that are going on, you don't need pictures. Pictures are not the only evidence that's sufficient. If there are people who are willing to come and testify before the commission or provide affidavits or other information, the commission can rely on that.
This is very frustrating. It's very frustrating because, you know,
Right, Ryan, we do not have a statement of use. This person was given the okay and rented space by the owner for a certain use. We do not have that statement of use. We don't have it. So in absence of a statement of use, I'm willing for this commission, in absence of a CEO, to go forward with a cease and desist saying, this is what you can have. We have to start somewhere because I'm tired of this back and forth every single month. One word against another. We have nothing on file. We have no statement of use on file. And we keep hearing that they're still having social events there. There's a bar in the place, a bar, not a lift for motors for cars or a motorcycle repair toolkit. There's a bar. So somebody has to tell them, look, guys, you know, these things aren't allowed. And what is your statement of use? What did you sign in as a lease with that owner that you were going to have there? Because I have a picture in front of me that says, granted it's from 2017, but it says, welcome to the grand opening of our social club. Okay. That means they think it's a social club. Okay. Regardless of what the use is, of what they can have there, they think they have a club. So that thought has to be put out of their minds one way or another, through a statement of use or a cease and desist, because I don't want to go through another month hashing this out back and forth. It's not right. It's not right to the complaint, whoever that may be. I don't care. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's not allowed. I think that's not something that's irrational to ask. We still don't have. It's months. We still don't have a statement of use. And I know Barbara had a phone call and left a message with Attorney Thomas to get one. We still don't have it. I asked her this morning before the meeting, do you have a statement of use for the meeting tonight? No.
You file a statement of use with an application. This thing, to my understanding, was approved years ago.
I have no idea, but that's what
I was told. If you're telling me that it's operating illegally, without an approval, and I have not produced any evidence of that fact, then fine, I'll address it with the property owner. If that's what you're telling me, that it's operating illegally, it never got a permit, it never had everything, and with it, then I'll address it. That's not what I was told when I had the meetings in June or any time since that time. If you want to issue a cease and desist, you can. I'm sure you'll have to follow the rules that are required to issue a cease and desist, which usually involve current ongoing activity.
Okay.
Attorney, what I think the commission wants to get to is a commitment from the owner and from the club to a series of activities that can exist on the property consistent with the historic non-conforming uses. I don't think this is complicated. I really don't.
It's not.
And if there is a series of activities that can occur on the site that don't involve events for friends and family to come down and have fundraising parties, there are a series of things that I'm sure can exist in conformance with the historic non-conforming nature of the property. And social club is not one of them.
Thank you.
Or is a bar.
Right. Look.
Well, a bar that sells alcohol, you're correct, and I've already told them that.
Oh, it would be a bar, period.
No, Dominic, you're missing the point. We have no comment from the applicant or whoever's using the spot that they're not going to do this anymore. Where are they? It seems like their attorney just wants to fight us on the matter and doesn't want to come to some sort of agreement. I mean, that's all we're asking for.
I have informed
Mr. Chair,
them
that Mr. Chair, I'm here.
Social club. Yes, sir. I have told the owner and I have told the applicant you cannot have a social club.
That's you telling them doesn't mean nothing if something's still going on. That's all I'm going to say, and it has to be reduced, my feeling, to writing. So the next CEO who isn't being blamed for being part of the club can actually take that out and say, you're not allowed to do this because the Planning and Zoning Commission said you can't, period. Because in absence of what they're telling us that they're, or them coming before us saying, hey, you know what, we got you loud and clear. I don't need GoFundMe pages saying we're trying to railroad them and go out of town, to drive them out of town. We don't need that. We don't need that. They're wrong, we're right. Give us a statement of use or we'll issue the cease and desist as need be. Because we can't keep going on this. He said, she said, month after month after month. All right. Am I wrong? I'm going to ask my commission.
Chair, just want to let you know that the chief is here.
Okay.
And so if you need statements or investigations into this, there is no doubt in my mind. I've personally witnessed it. This club is active and moving forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
That's coming from Chief Narowski.
And the answer is I do need the statements. So I would like it in writing and I'd like to present it. And then I'll discuss with my client and the tenant, the statement of uses. I have been asking for 4 months for evidence, and I have gotten
Let me ask you a question, Attorney Thomas. Don't you think that the applicant or the person that's using or leasing that space would just say, hey, Dominic, we're not doing any of this stuff. I'll come to the next meeting and tell the people of what exactly we're doing. It seems like, look,
What good would it be for them to come and tell you? I could come and tell you.
Because it's them we're complaining about.
Okay. I will discuss with my client the need for the statement of use. I would expect to receive the information that I've been told, the evidence that existed of violation. So I would like it in writing, please.
Okay, then explain to me why that this so-called non-club would start a GoFundMe page to raise money that they're trying to run their club out of town. It's on Facebook. It's public domain, public information. Come on,
Attorney Thomas, I just want to let you know, if you want, we'll have video. We'll have statements, sworn video, whatever you need. I just seriously think you need to reconsider this statement.
What? It's state evidence of zoning violations. I'll take it and I'll address it at that point. Go ahead and get it for me. Okay. I think I have the right to ask for it.
If we have this kind of evidence, then we should issue the cease and desist order.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
That should just happen. Your regards are with Dominic, Mr. Attorney Thomas.
And Steve should demand from the attorney.
I understand Attorney Thomas's request for that information in writing. However, I think that the chief's statements are evidence. They don't have to be in writing.
Right.
He has just testified before the commission. So the commission can do what it feels is appropriate. There is evidence before the commission.
Okay, then I move we send a cease and desist based on the comments heard at this public hearing and things that we heard from this applicant that they no longer should have a social club or any social club type events at this property. Number one, that's my motion. Let's start there. That's one. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, who in fact would be allowed to issue that cease and desist order? Since that normally comes from a zoning enforcement officer, which we don't have, who is authorized?
That's normally the commission can enforce its regulations. Usually you delegate that to a CEO, but without a CEO, you can enforce the regulations on your own.
So we can, Barbara, let me get this straight. We can based on what we've heard this evening, we can have our engineer draft a letter, a cease and desist that we can send to the applicant, to the owner.
Yes, it would be coming from the commission.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So it'll be signed by the chairman.
Correct. Any discussion on the motion? Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the second thing I'm gonna ask is a statement of use. What are they currently doing at the property? I think we should have that from the, we should demand that from the person who is taking up that property now, because I want them to put in writing to us what they are currently doing or think they should be having at that place. Because if it's not allowed, we'll tell them that. And if they deviate at all from that, then we can go back with another cease and desist or further action. I think we need that. I think we need that from them. What do these people think that they have at this place? If they were sold, we can open a club here. We need to, I want to see it in writing. I move that we ask the user of that of 49 Burke Hill for a statement of use before this commission. Can we do that? Barbara, can we do that?
I'm sorry, I was distracted by something else. What did you say?
Can we ask the person who resides at 49 Burtville, who's in question, to demand from them a statement of use for what they think they're use or what they're using their property from now, which includes hours of operation, when they're getting together, what are they doing? A pretty standard statement of use.
Yes, I think you can, and especially since you've issued a cease and desist.
Okay, that's a motion to ask.
And desist order. And I would assume that the property owner would like to resolve that. So that could be a way towards resolving the issue.
Absolutely.
I just also, Mr. Chairman, especially because we are remote, just to be clear on the motion, who made it, who seconded it, and I assume it was unanimous, but I want the record to be clear on that.
I made it and Steve Jalowick seconded it and it was unanimous.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Now going back to the statement of use, should that be part of the cease and desist? Asking for a statement of use? Or should we ask that separately?
No, that's separate from a cease and desist.
Yeah, I think Attorney Thomas was correct. The statement of use isn't given unless there's an application being made. It seems like nobody's making an application for anything at this space there.
So my question would be, can we ask for a statement of use of what they're existing using their property for? If they say they filed one with the previous zoning enforcement officer, just say, produce us a copy of it. Is that too much to ask?
You could ask them for a copy of the previous statement of use.
Absolutely.
For a building permit, for that matter. Or a certificate of zoning compliance. I don't think that you could ask them to do a statement of use now and they would have any necessity to comply with that request. But you certainly could ask them to produce what historical evidence they have for occupying that space.
Okay. So Barbara, I'll defer to you. What can we ask of this person who's residing at 49 Burtville?
I mean, technically, yes, a statement of use comes with an application, but I think that, you know, you've just issued a cease and desist order. And again, I would think that the property owner would want to resolve that by coming forward with a statement of property owner doesn't want to do that, we'll have to go from there. But it seems to me logical. Again, this is a practical situation.
Which we're talking about from month to month since June. Right. And I want it to stop. Basically, it needs to stop.
What's going to come next, if potentially what's going to come next, if there isn't compliance with the cease and desist order, I would assume the next step may be issuing a citation. So I would think that the property owner does not want to go down that road.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so if we're good with the cease and desist, I'm good with that then. Okay, fine. Next item, 10C, 117 Main Street, Home Depot. Continued discussion and possible action on the removal of trees along Main Street. I did forward along today a couple of plans we did receive. I know they're not, Ryan, I believe you had discussions with them.
Right. So okay. What they forwarded to me and I forwarded to Ted and Ted the commission are a couple of plans that they're reviewing internally right now. Their intent is to submit an application as early as tomorrow. But I did ask for their progress because I know this is something the commission was looking for last month and they've provided that progress and I think they're heading towards an application. I will review the plans as currently presented to get that rolling so that next month when the application is received, the commission can either decide to deliberate on those planting plans or plan as if it's reduced down to one, or they can continue the discussion to the January meeting. Okay. I think they're making progress. They have a design professional who's prepared plans, which is what the commission asked a couple months ago. So I think they're moving in that direction. And I'm happy to see that they are making progress.
Okay. So we should expect and we will receive from them a formal application next month, I'm assuming?
I believe the application will be submitted as early as this week.
Okay. All right. Any comments from any commission members? Okay, so what are we looking to table this till next month, correct? Or continue it till next month?
Well, we may have an application for receipt next month.
Okay, so then we can do away with the old business and then we have an application. Okay, got it. All right. It doesn't matter, but we've already missed any planting season that we have this year. Okay.
Yeah, the planting season won't begin till the spring.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to item number 6C, public portion. Is there anybody from the public to address the commission at this time? Anybody from the public? There's a lot of people from the public here. Anybody from the public?
Mr. Chairman, I have a number of questions regarding the proposed informal discussion that we had on the development up on off of Summer Avenue.
Sure. Go ahead, Walt.
First of all, for each of the proposals, the duplex and the condo, yep. What are the total number of two-bedroom units involved?
Can you just identify yourself for the record, please?
Walt Mayhew, 3 Genetti Drive, Derby, Connecticut.
I presume that question is directed to the commission.
It's directed to the applicants or those who had the informal discussion.
I don't know that a back and forth with the informal.
We do not have anything formal before us. We don't have an application for anybody to dissect today. Formally, it's just an informal discussion before the commission. So if you have concerns or questions, I would raise them. I'm sure there's someone from the applicant or the applicant's attorney that's on here that will take that in and will be able to answer it because we are going to continue this discussion ourselves because it's the first time we saw these plans for next month. So I'm sure the commission will have questions itself. So you can just state your concerns, just a matter of record. So at least they're here to hear your concerns. And we are also.
Okay, my first concern was that And thank you to Mr. McAvoy for pointing this out, because when I looked at the preliminary designs, I couldn't figure how you could fit all those duplexes and be in compliance with current zoning as well. And I'm surprised that Mr. Thomas would submit even informal plans that he knew were not in compliance with zoning, given all the work that he's done. I think the number of units that are proposed are extremely high in density. You have some of the aerial or the, what's it called, the architectural drawings, I think they are, that shows that the condos would be three levels high, three stories high, which is another area of concern. I think it's contrary to the current neighborhood character that's there. I also was concerned with the entrance coming off of Coon Hollow. It looks like it's either entering or exiting through the same driveway that the current Summit condos uses. It's not a doesn't appear to be a separate driveway at all. And that was another concern that I had. And I'm also concerned, one last thing, this whole idea of a preferred development, being familiar with what's called spot zoning, which is where you take an area out of an existing zone and you rezone it for the preference and the benefit of the property owner, seems an awful lot like that to me. Thank you.
Thanks, Walt. Anybody else from the public like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public? Anybody else from the public? Okay. With that being said multiple times and there's no one else from the public, we'll close the public portion. We'll move on to payment of bills, number 11. Payment of bills if deemed correct. A motion to pay bills if deemed correct. There's two of them. I'll make that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded by Raul. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, everybody. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
It's 8:22.